Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Check us out as always, MWCConnection.com, Mountain West Connection Facebook. We hit 2,000 followers on the Twitter, MWC Connection. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Chris Hondris do our duct taped version of Take Two this evening on Google Hangout. That's all you got, just a hey?
Yeah. Hooray.
Oh, sorry. You came out of my headphones too. That's fine. Hooray. Yes, hooray it is. So let's be up front. Chris is on location, on another location, I should say, than normal. So shut your app and if something doesn't sound as clear as normal. So is that fair to say?
Something like that, yes.
And you sound fine. It's not that bad. But if people notice, hey, he's going home. He's not packing his microphone with him, right? Usually not.
Yeah. It's a lot to take a microphone around.
Yeah, so we're going to get some games here. Let's just get down to it, man. We want to get this quick. It's the holiday week. We'll have a show at some point to preview everything. Some point we will. There'll be something on the website of audio. Hopefully we can help your drive. So maybe if you're listening to this now, stop it. Just pause right now. We already got you downloaded, so it's cool and everything. Save it for your trip. So it'll give you a good 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And then for our preview, you'll have another 45 minutes or an hour. That's a good plan, right? Or listen to it twice.
Yeah.
So let's get to the games. Let's go. Let me ask you, Chris, how are you doing this week again? 2 weeks in a row.
First time since 1993.
Do you remember what happened in 1993 specifically or not?
That was the last time that Boise State had two home losses.
Well, I mean, more besides the two losses, but that's what we're referring to.
What happened in 1993? Yes, but what do I remember what happened in football? No, because I was only paying attention to Oregon football back then.
There we go. So Air Force 37, Boise State 30. Close game. Air Force kind of blew it open in the second quarter to kind of pull away. Let me ask you this.
But they didn't pull away. They gave Boise State every single opportunity to come back in this game.
Well, it's a one touchdown game, so yes, I just mean point wise, they're up by two touchdowns at halftime.
And they went up by three midway through the third quarter.
Yeah. So let me ask you this then, because yeah, Boise came back and they're still okay, they're 7-4, it's still pretty good. They're just not what they have been. So I want to ask you this, not to say that there's big issues, but the standard has been set of 10 wins. Three-time Fiesta Bowl champion, multiple conference titles, have what, a 95% at home winning percentage? What has been – okay, losing to New Mexico, I kind of saw it coming. I didn't think they'd lose, but I wasn't surprised over, like, you probably weren't either. We saw what Air Force did last year, but Air Force needed seven turnovers to squeak out a game last year by a couple touchdowns. What is it, too, because – it seems to me the pass defense, something's gone awry. Is it just Dante Dion hasn't been healthy despite him playing this past game?
And he didn't play a lot in this game.
Correct.
Chancellor's been out in and out all season. Darian Thompson wasn't playing last night.
Is that all it is, the secondary? Because they got like the best linebacking crew in the conference for the most part, top two or three, and they're not – they're okay. They've been haven't been great.
Here's the thing. Boise's defense, and you can say, oh, blame the coaches or whatever, but I'm sorry, when you have two passes to wide open receivers where the linebacker has to cover the deep threat.
Good luck. I saw those. Yeah, that's not what you want to do. Correa is not going to guard
those passes.
Yeah, Correa is not going to guard Collette down the field or Garrett Griffin.
Yeah.
Or Robinette, sorry.
Jalen Robinette to one, Garrett Griffin to the other.
Yeah. So, because I saw a couple times, you saw the ESPN Twitter feed joking, hey, is this guy wide open or is the blue on blue really blended in on the field on a couple of those passes, man? There was nobody on the screen. And I think most of that was the linebacker. For some reason, whether that's the motion they put in play, Boise not having the right personnel on the field, it's because you can't blame a linebacker trying to cover the guy. He's covering who he's supposed to cover. Why is there not another defensive back on the field? I don't want to get too deep. Like it's not coaching, but it's been a pattern for over two games.
I was going to say, regardless, you have 2 weeks of two triple option teams that Boise State hasn't been able to stop. And regardless, in both of those games, they played a crazy fourth quarter where they've basically come back in due to basically Air Force's and New Mexico's both just mistakes. Carson Roberts had zero, zero, zero reason to throw the ball in the fourth quarter.
He had three interceptions overall as well.
He had three interceptions. All three came in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, that gave Boise like, why he's 9 of 16. We know he can throw. He went through 279, but and I get Air Force had the success, but you're right. Why throw the ball when Jacoby Owens had 145 yards? You had.
My only thought can be this. You've seen how basically Boise State to this point has basically been beating down opponents. I think everybody kind of feels that if Boise State gets exposed, they want to return the favor.
So pull Utah State on them.
Pull a Utah State.
That's tough to do against any team that's pretty even average to win by 40 points.
So, you know, I think there's a little bit of a sense to return the favor, but you have to think, I mean, all three of those interceptions were bad passes, just bad decisions. No reason to throw those passes. But on the other hand, Boise State, 17 points off those three turnovers, couldn't get the last one where it counted.
So let me ask you this. Is there concern? Should there be, can you calm down the Boise State fans who are not too happy with the past 2 weeks? What would you tell them going forward?
I've tried to calm them down. It's not working. They're calling for Harsin's head.
No, that's dumb.
They're calling for Harsin's head. They're calling for Yates's head. They're calling for Drinkwitz's head. Like I feel like, see, San Diego State might have the playing style of Alabama, but Boise State is like the Alabama fans of the group of five.
Well said. Here's the thing. Here's what I will say. True. Okay, I said they're not young, but they are in some positions. Brett Rypien, true freshman. Jeremy McNichols, a sophomore. Your best two weapons are going to be around for a couple more years. Your
Yeah,
recruiting class is. You have. What is it?
injury in this game, by the way.
What was that?
Sparebuck went down for half the game with an injury.
Yeah,
Rolled his.
that doesn't help. And he still had the team interceptions with 7 for 79.
Yeah, he's still really the only effective receiver. I mean, all the other receivers are just not effective, and I'm
He
not sure.
had 20 receptions last week. 20.
I'm not sure. Because the other receivers aren't making their catches purposely. Not purposely, but I mean, there's not a connection like there is to rip into Sparebeck, or if that's something else. I don't know what that is.
I could say he's okay. He started enough games, but he's still a young guy. He found his guy he's throwing to. And again, Sparrowback, he's going to be back next year. Starting receiver, starting running back, starting quarterback, going to be back. Offensive line, yes, there'll be a pretty big rebuild there, but you have your three best weapons.
He got sacked. Rippon got sacked like three or four times last night.
That's my concern too. Like somebody's talking to me on Twitter, like this offensive line's not any good. I'm like, okay, they haven't been playing well, but they had multiple all conference players. They had over 100 career starts back on this offensive line. And so it's like, how are they playing this? But I know one, I forget his name, but what the right tackle broke his ankle in late October. The guy who stepped in had a handful of starts from last year. This offensive line shouldn't be that bad because Air Force's front seven, besides Alex Hansen, it's just meh, nothing to write home about.
And Weston Steelhammer.
Well, I mean, front seven, I should. Well, you know what I mean? The front defensive line is
Uh-huh.
nothing great. So the Air Force won. So what do you, like, what is your thought on this team? Are you assuming everything should be okay? Just calm down. You might this.
Of all, I think everything should be okay. Just calm down because they're playing San Jose State this week.
They should win again on Friday afternoon.
It comes back to this. Yes, they're playing Sam. I get it. We've lost the last 2 weeks, but we don't have to face another triple option team.
Yeah.
The only way we face another triple option team this season is somehow if we play Navy or Georgia Tech in a bowl game.
Or
Guess
Georgia
what?
Southern.
Either one of those are going to happen.
Yeah. The only thing that concerning it, we'll talk about later. We won't be here most likely, but Tyler Irvin, he's a pretty good back, but still, it's not the triple option. Here's the thing: could it really be this that, yes, half the WAC moved over, and even though the league is a down league, that just the overall competition is just enough better that's kind of hurting them a little bit because they've only won one conference title since moving over from the WAC.
I believe it, but I also believe that remember. One conference, they've won two.
Oh, the first year they shared with three teams, right? With San Diego State and Fresno, I want to say. Well, I know, but I mean, yeah.
The year before was the Peterson 8-5 season.
I thought maybe they won one outright. Is that correct then, I'm assuming?
On one outright. They've shared.
Yeah. Okay, they shared the first. That's what it was, yeah. So it's not like the success, it's not like they've been bad by any means. Heck, you won the festival last year. Come on. I think it's just the competition is a little bit more, just enough to where, crap, if we lose a guy or two, we could be in trouble a little bit.
And I think that realization is starting to kick in. And I think it's less about the competition's gotten better. I think it's each individual program has gotten better.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, overall, it's tougher.
Under Mike Loxley.
Mike Loxley, yeah. Oh, jeez.
They were horrible. Under Rocky Long, they weren't, I mean.
They were competitive, but they were not going to bowl games. I think they won one bowl game during his tenure and were 500 another time. They were just a pain in a lot of teams' side, but never great.
Exactly.
Like they had guys like Rodney Ferguson, great running back. Brian Urlacher, great guys, but they never got over the hump.
And that's where Football Bob is taking, and that's where Football Bob is taking him. Except he might be taking the next level with New Mexico here with their triple option.
There, I love New Mexico. I'm sorry. I'm sad they lost, kind of, but it's like, come on.
But and then that being said, you come back. Okay, Air Force is a force to be reckoned with. We had no clue how good or bad they were going to be. Turns out their three losses this year are all pretty damn good teams.
What, Michigan State? Who else they played? Navy and two ranked teams in Colorado State, right?
Who, by the way, is bowl eligible now?
Yeah, so it's. I think Air Force is vastly underrated. I think just because they're Air Force, I don't know. They're sitting one conference loss. They're 8-3. Did you rank them this week in the Underdogs Bowl?
Yes, I ranked them. You're going to laugh at me. I ranked them 4.
I was not far off. I put them behind San Diego State. I could put them at 7. Everybody lost. The American Conference is eating each other up.
I put San Diego State at 6.
I think I had them. I think I had San Diego State 5 and Air Force 7, something along those lines. Because same with San Diego State, man, they've won 7 in a row.
Yeah, and see where the difference between you and me. We talked about this offline, but it's who have those teams lost to?
Yeah, South Alabama.
and when you take it into account that Air Force was a thorn in Michigan State's side for 3 quarters,
mm-hmm.
and they were going back and forth with Navy. How?
They dug themselves a hole and came back, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We saw them win 10 games last year.
Yeah.
And the only reason why is they managed to lose that last conference game that allowed Boise State to go to the conference championship.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. They're, because for those who don't know, they're playing San Diego State in the title game. And I get the point that we'll get to the Aztecs in a minute, but San Diego State's undefeated conference play so far. I kind of think they should host because they haven't lost because they don't play each other in the regular season. But then again, they didn't play Air Force. They didn't play Boise State. They missed Colorado State as well and New Mexico, right?
That's good.
So they played one out of the mountain. They played, yes, they played Utah State and Wyoming. That's it. And so. And you had South Alabama. It's like, I get their point. You don't lose in conference play. And they're going to the formula. I think maybe they should switch that if you have a better record. But still, it's like, you can't complain too much if you can't beat a down Penn State team and you lose to South Alabama with a big lead. Sorry. But
the Cal team that's going to be 500.
Well, the Cal team, part of it is the reason they're so hot because they play, their front schedule is terrible. Once they lost to Utah, they're undefeated when they played Utah 5-0. They're going to finish 6-6. They played like Utah, Oregon, USC, UCLA all in a row.
Yeah.
It's like, and they played Stanford last night as well. So let's move on. Next game. I was at this game. Oh my goodness. I apologize profusely for having Matt do so many recaps on Fresno State football. Well, part of it, his schedule, that's what he prefers to do, but
apologize to Matt for being a fan.
52-10. I was in person, first game. Let me tell you this. Most people should know who Bronson Confucius is for BYU. But unless you watch him like in person, see, because on TV it's kind of hard to tell. He plays defensive end. And in this game, he had 3 sacks, a couple for a loss, the block field goal, had a strip fumble, but Greenlee was ruled down. So he was all over the field. He was causing havoc everywhere. Nobody could stop him. So seeing him in person against that Fresno line, oh, geez, there was no chance. But Fresno actually in the first quarter, I'm not sure how much you saw this, but there was some hope because as we talked about BYU the past couple weeks, we're playing San Jose State. We'll talk about next week, Utah State. But their offensive line has been injured for the past couple weeks. They had a bye week. They played crappy Wagner FCS team. They missed 3 or 4 guys for San Jose State. They missed a couple last week. They're playing this week with they're finally back, but they just cohesive. You know how it is. You miss half of your players, you're going to have issues. The Fresno was actually getting to the backfield, causing havoc, forcing BYU to punt. And there's a fake punt that they I don't know what they're doing, but they stopped the fake. Why do you go for a fake punt on your own 30-yard line?
Dude,
it was terrible. But they got a field goal out of it, but oh my goodness. We did see the dual quarterback place in this game. Made 2 quarterbacks.
You're right.
Zach Greenlee had a pick 6. He should have had 2 because Fred Warner somehow he mustered the energy to tackle Fred, the linebacker Fred Warner, at like the 5-yard line, push him out of bounds or something. But he was throwing, like, if you read match recap, it was literally overthrow. Let's see if I can get my wide receiver's head knocked off by throwing behind him across the middle of the field when he's reaching above his head to catch a pass. There was nothing good. He was 14 of 41, 3 interceptions. Martez Waller couldn't get anything done. He had 47 yards. He deserves much better than this piece of crap what's put together on this team. But there was a chance, like a small chance. It was at halftime. Fresno, it's like, okay, if they could stop BYU, which they've done a couple times, and score a touchdown. And Matt laughed at me. We're chatting on Facebook or something. It could have been a reasonable score to half. It was 24-3. Okay. It's like maybe 24-10. They get the ball. That's 2 touchdowns, not overly. I know it's Fresno, but you know what I mean? You're down 2 touchdowns, you get the ball. You got momentum, but then it's – no, they're just terrible. The offensive staff needs to go. It has to go, all of it.
Just set it all on fire.
Yeah, set it on fire. But here's what's most frustrating. I agree with Matt after watching this game and seeing – I paid more attention than normal because I was there, but I've seen Fresno throughout the year, bits and pieces when I, like the UNLV game, saw a few other games. The thing that's most frustrating, there's been 0 improvement in this game, in this team from week 1 till now. Same mistakes, same terrible play, nothing has gotten better, and predictable play calling as well. I could count on 6-5 routes they're running. They run everything to the sideline or across the middle, essentially, some variation of that, and then a screen pass on 3rd and long. It's like, what are you doing, Dave Schramm? I don't know. I'm dominating this game, but it's watching them play and seeing how they're throwing the ball or not throwing the ball well. Unless they really like Chase and Virgil, man, the quarterbacks they have right now, they're not on the team. They're not playing next year. They're awful. Apologize, but they're not getting their job done, and they're just. How can you get worse after week 10, week 11? You know what I mean? You should be getting better. And it's not like the team has been outside of, yeah, the 2 quarterbacks have been hurt earlier in the year, but this is your day 1 starter. Out of the other injuries, there's nothing to lost their top wide receiver. You know what I mean? But since they started playing games, there hasn't been an overly amount of injuries to say that's why they're this bad or that's why they haven't improved.
Right. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's just the fact of the matter is that to say that they haven't shown any improvement at all. I mean, that should tell you, number one, there's something wrong even more than just the players, the coaching. There's just something just not right there.
They have a couple of defensive linemen, but it's like they don't have much of, like, Pat Hill, he's on the broadcast team. I tried to find him during the game, but he was elusive, like during after the game or something, to see the stash at least. But he's we had on, like, my radio show, we do it's BYU stuff, so we had on one of the guys from the broadcast team. He's like, Pat Hill's just like so mad at what's going on because he was fired. Obviously, he didn't want to leave the job, but he wasn't performing well. He got let go. He's still around the program, which shows that people still like him and stuff to be part of the broadcast team. But he's the guy, the sideline guy on our show is like, he's just like killing himself. He's just so upset, so frustrated, so passionate about how he can't help this team get better. And he knows he didn't do a good job at the end, but it's still, he was there for so long and it's not, it's just awful. And so they have to, Dave Sharam, QB coach. They got to get rid of everything. Is that fair to say, or is that too harsh?
That's fair. That's fair.
There's nothing, like Matt says, there's nothing to say. It's the same thing every week he writes, pretty much, for the recap.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing. It's done.
It's 4-8 predictions on track, though, if they can win next week. I don't know who they play, but we'll move on. Next game. Oh, Nevada. Oh, Nevada. You got bitten by Chucky Keaton, losing, well, not really the defense, but 31 to 27, Utah State's bowl eligible. 5-0 at Maverick Stadium at home. But how do you blow a 20, like a 20-point lead or something? How does that happen? 21-point lead.
You, I don't even know.
Pull Nevada? Can we call it that?
How do they even do this? I'm extremely confused.
Well, I watched part of it, but here's how you do it. Well, here's the thing on Kentmars. I'm trying to find an update on him. He left the game, had like a sling in his arm, so Chucky Keaton came in, which is cool to see him at home to play, but it's not like he played all that great either. Just 14 of 27 with an interception, no touchdowns. But here's the thing. Tyler Stewart, 8 of 18 for 55 yards. That's how that happens.
How do, okay, so holy cow, okay. So total yards, Utah State 313, 265. How do you? When the time of possession, when just all these different things, and still manage to lose the game.
Utah State scored the final 24 points in
So
this game.
they were down. They were up 27-7.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
It came down to Kyle Fackrell had a touchdown in the end zone, a botched snap to win it, but it wasn't pretty.
This is why you stomp on people's throats, but I mean, okay, 27-7, okay, touchdown. Okay, Utah State, 5-minute drive. Okay, then punt, punt,
Punt.
punt. Fumble, and touchdown.
Yeah, in at the 1 yard line, a botched snap.
Turnover on downs, fumble. There's so many just, wow.
They just stopped playing consistent football. They went into the turtle shell mode and said, "All right, we're up big. Let's just our running game's been going well because James Butler had a good game with a 139. Don Jackson had another 79. It's like, okay, we'll just run the ball and be fine." But they Utah State defense, you got to do more than that. If you're up three touchdowns, that's good. That's a good lead, but you can't just stop your offense because here's the thing: your offense to how it's playing through the first half of the game got you this lead. So why go to something else too early in the game? That's part of it too. It's like, okay, we're winning. Let's rein it in, guys. Let's pull it back.
Yeah, it's that's quite amazing. Like, that is definitely an instance where you just played not to lose because you were up by enough. And that's why, like, that's kind of like where the whole Air Force in New Mexico versus Boise State thing, they played essentially not to lose the second half, and that's how they let Boise State back in. But man, you can't do that. I'm just still confused. But as a result, Chucky Keaton showed his leadership, even though he didn't perform great. Still managed to lead Utah State to the win.
Yeah, Devontae Mays finally showing up again, two touchdowns and 100, over 100 yards. He had a solid outing.
So,
There's also the 100, don't forget the 100 sharp 96 yard kickoff return after Utah State had a pick six from Kent Myers. But yeah, the fumble in the end zone, that's got to kill you. Get the ball at the 1 yard line, you punt deep, you're pinned down. Why the heck? Here's what I hate the most. I'm going to go on a little rant here. I hate this. A lot of schools do this. This kind of the opposite situation. It's fourth and goal, or you need like 1 yard. You go in the stupid shotgun formation when you need 1 yard in a key play. I hate it. Here it is. Here's Nevada. First down at their own at the one. They're going 99 yards a long way. If I don't know, I didn't see the play, so I don't. I know they do shotgun all the time, but if you're that close, this defense doing good. Get under center and do a quarterback sneak for to get 2 yards, so you're not in the end zone. So if you're in shotgun, you're sitting at the goal line and not 3 yards deep in the end zone.
When the last time Nevada went under center?
A kneel down? When's the last time they had a kneel down?
I'm pretty sure the last time they went under center directly that wasn't a kneel down was 2005.
Kaepernick? Or is that too early? Was it Colin Kaepernick at 05? Or is it not
Pulling head. Oh
or
my.
not Chris Alt or not Chris Alt head coach?
It was Chris Alt, the head coach. It was the year before the pistol was implemented.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. It's just ugly loss. Like we talked about Nevada all year. They've been a hit or miss team. This is a game they should have won, which it showed they first half great, second half just clam up and don't do anything. Oh, I apologize. They are going to. I thought they're sitting at 5-6. Never mind. They're going to some sort of bowl game, but it's tough, man. Do you lose this?
Spots filled up now, yes.
We'll get to that at the end. I'll have to pull up the standings, but I think we'll be close. So let's move on to the next game. We'll pull that up in a minute here. So Utah State gets the win. We're looking up the severeness of Kent Myers. If not, you got Chucky Keaton, who you got Devontae Mays. Keaton will be fine if he plays quarterback. Like you said, he has the leadership. Yeah, he's lost a bit from injuries and all that stuff, but if he's playing, that will be fine. Also, really quick, this is interesting here. I just pulled up the line. Do you want to take a quick guess on the line between BYU and Utah State at Maverick Stadium?
I'm going to go with BYU minus 11.
Oh, you're way off. Two.
Really?
BYU's favored by two
Interesting.
on the road, and I'm 98% sure I'm going to be at that game, so that should be fun.
Lucky.
Gotta drive 2 hours, but I will be there hopefully. It might be me and Parker carpooling up from our neck of the woods up to Logan, so that'll be exciting. All right, next game. Oh man, I don't have the dang it. What's the next game? I don't have that part pulled up here. Would that
Next game,
be
Colorado State, New Mexico.
Oh, football Bob!
I'm so
So
sad.
close! So close!
I'm so sad. Because New Mexico had a 21-20 lead, and Mike Bobo
Ran the ball.
he ran the damn ball, Bobo. Izzy Matthews could not stop Izzy Matthews in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, they had the 21-20 lead, and their defense showed up. They held Colorado State to a 22, I believe, like a short field goal, 22, 24-yard field goal to have that lead. But New Mexico,
After that, you depended on Lamar Jordan to throw the ball.
that's not a game plan you want to see.
No, three picks.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter.
That's tough getting those fourth quarter picks. And the running game wasn't like Joel Presley did all right. The running game was just okay by New Mexico standards, I should say. Nothing dynamic. But when Nick Stevens doesn't have an interception and goes 16-23, and Rashard Higgins blows up like I thought he could in this game, no touchdowns, but 140 yards with eight receptions, had half of them. And it's tough to stop. And we knew New Mexico on their pass defense, we know it's not very good, so it's not surprising. But
Well, I mean, look, the game they beat Boise State, they could not stop Brett
yeah,
Rippon.
was a five.
Huh? It's 506 passing yards. Hello? Yeah, so defense not too good, or pass defense not too good. And so, Rashard Higgins is going to get open. 108 receptions, 140 yards. Did not get the touchdown, but didn't need to get the touchdown. Because all you need to do is just get a tight end, big guy, just whoop, 8 yard slant, and there you go. So, I don't know where Jeremy went, but I will continue to talk. But, yeah, I don't. You also had Jordan Vaden, 4 receptions, 87 yards. One of those a 57 yarder. But still, you're getting guys open enough so that when they receive the ball, they're getting a first down almost every single reception. That's not how you win a lot of games. Lamar Jordan's 3 picks, not helpful.
You got me back here?
Yeah.
That was weird. I could hear everything, but I was not involved. Did you move on to the next game, or are you still doing New Mexico CSU?
Basically, I'm just making final notes on how it's not the way to win the games.
Well,
And New Mexico had a chance in the last quarter.
yeah, they had two interceptions in their final two possessions. And that final drive, they were moving down the field. They got to near midfield, but got to pick off. They got picked off. So it's here's the thing. New Mexico can lose the rest of their games, and this is a massively successful season. Massively. Bowl eligible for the first time in who knows how long since Bob Davey was there, right?
Exactly.
And they're sitting at 6-5. They had a chance to be in the title game.
Rocky Long was there.
Yeah, Rocky Long probably. No, that's the year he's like, this is as far as I can take the program. Something like that, correct?
And New Mexico fans were like, yes, be gone.
And
Brett
then
Christian was like, be gone.
Mike Locksley. You know it's going to be exciting when they play Air Force next week. Despite it meaning nothing, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Oh God.
Right?
Oh God.
That'll be a 2-hour game, something like that, correct?
Something like that.
All right, so next game, Rams are, oh, that's the Rams this game gave them bowl eligibility. And yeah, so we'll get to the bowl stuff at the end here. So up next, do we need to talk about San Diego State, UNLV, all that much tonight?
We could just mention that San Diego State once again looked dominant, and UNLV without Blake Decker hurt.
Tough.
It's hard.
Yeah. Max, if we have our Maxwell Smith watch for our good friend David Farraker, still did not throw 20 passes.
Still did not need to throw 20 passes. 11 for 17, 107 yards, one touchdown, zero interception. So essentially, very effective when he doesn't have to throw the ball. Donnell Pumphrey, 14 carries, 139 yards. Just dominant.
Yeah, UNLV. Here's the thing. Yeah, they're 3-8. They get one more game. Even though their win total's not there, if we had Blake Decker, I don't say they'd win this game, but it'd be much more competitive this game and last week as well. But
They're two and five in the conference.
they're on track, I should say, despite having 3-8. Well, look at non-conference. They played Michigan, UCLA, Northern Illinois. Come on.
Yeah.
And so, if you put that in with an FCS team and say
like Illinois or Iowa State, or even a lower level MAC team, Eastern Michigan or something, they could be sitting at maybe 4 or 5 wins right now. But I think they're clearly on the right track. I was skeptical of Tony Sanchez, but he made the right hires to come in to make sure this team gets on the right track, and he's slowly getting there. Schedule is a bit tough. Injuries got him, and defense still needs a lot of work. But I think they're closer. This was their – would you say this is their worst performance of the year, I'm assuming?
I would say this is their worst performance of the year.
It's tough, but they're going to turn it around. It may take – I think they'll be bowl eligible in 2 more seasons. So, what, 2017, they'll be in the bowl game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to say no next year?
I'm not sure yet. I got to see schedules. I got to see who's returning and all that.
Good point, good point. All right, so next game, San Jose State. March the 6th is alive, beating Hawaii 42-23. Max Wittick's career is over before this game is announced. His football, well, his college career, I don't think he's playing pro anywhere, but he's out. But, man, Kenny Potter, he's lighting it up. 312, 3 touchdowns, 23 for 32. Tyler Irvin, he ran for 50. Jeez, he had 5 total touchdowns. Kenny Potter also ran for 2. Man. That's a player there.
195 rushing yards. So can this San Jose State team, and no, we're not going to talk about Hawaii because as awesome as Paul Harris is. And,
yeah.
And very much earning offensive player of the week bid. 28 carries, 179 yards, 1 touchdown. I mean, he is.
And 3 receptions too. 3 yeah. Catches.
Hawaii.
So you want to talk San Jose State Boise real quick?
San Jose State has to win.
They do. They're 5-6. We'll check. There's people talking a couple weeks ago. Oh, 5-7 teams will get in. I don't think that'll be the case. I have to look further on that. But here's the thing. They host Boise State, which is a plus. If you remember a couple years ago, San Jose State – played that boat race against Derek Carr's team on the same Black Friday. Any chance of a repeat performance? I'm just saying they have the passing to make it happen. Even though they don't have Tyler Winston, Kenny Potter is a reasonably good quarterback, and I would argue he's better than what's his name, Carson Roberts at throwing the ball.
Yes, but they are not an option team.
That's correct. That's also they don't. But yet, like I said, they have Tyler Irvin. But yet, not the option. Do you want to quickly guess what the line is right now in this game? Because it is out.
Boise State by 8.
Very close. Opened at 10. It's already dropped to 7.5. People are taking San Jose State.
Yeah, well, you know, when was the last time that Boise State lost 3 straight games? I don't even know.
The first year in the WAC, I'm assuming, when they went like 6-6 or something.
2-9, maybe.
2-9. They went 2-9. I thought they went like
their first year FBS football was 2-9.
Okay, maybe then. Okay, but they weren't in the WAC. They were in the Big West for a couple years, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say this. It's been at least 15 years. It's been probably 20 years, right? Is that safe to say?
I could look this up.
Look it up because I know it's been a long time on that. So let me get – like Chris does that, I'll go to the bowl stuff here because there are – I'm assuming right now we're going to – Mountain West is going to get the Las Vegas Bowl bid because there's a thing with BYU. They go to the Hawaii Bowl or Vegas Bowl 2015, 2019. Had BYU beat Missouri, finished 10-2, I'd say it's a shoe-in. But at 9-3, they're probably not. Unless New Mexico won the conference, which is now out of the picture, I could have seen BYU taking that bid, assuming they beat Utah State. But now, I'm assuming Air Force is going there. Here's what we have right now for bowl-eligible teams. You have Air Force, Utah State, Colorado State, Boise State, New Mexico. 5 of the 6 Mountain teams are bowl-eligible. We have 6 in San Diego State and 7 in Nevada. Potential for 8 if San Jose State does upset Boise State at Spartan Stadium.
Hmm.
I'm assuming 8 would be a record, correct?
I believe 8 would be a record.
So I know we had 7 last year.
Conference is, they've gotten better. Is this what you're saying?
What was that?
So as down as this conference is, they have gotten better. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying they have 7 teams bowl eligible. Here's the thing. When you have 10 teams in the conference, it's kind of hard to get 7 bowl eligible.
Yeah.
I would say it's – I think here's a real thing about it. It's down because there's not a ranked team. There should always be, like I've said for years, the champion probably 8 out of 10 years, 9 out of 10 years will be the best team, not in the Big 12, SEC, so on and so on, conference, ACC. This is one of those years where it's not the case. And even then, if you look at the American, they're beating each other up. Yes, you have better teams. You have a lot of one-loss teams like Navy, Houston still. Temple has 2 losses. These teams have come out of nowhere. Like, not bad enough for them by any means, but Temple's been awful forever. They're sitting at 9-2 somehow. Memphis, this is their second year of being good, so it's less of a shock, but still a surprise. Houston's been good, but never this good.
Right.
And so, I want to ask you this. So, it's just one of the off years where the league's down overall, but there's still enough teams. Like, people should be talking about San Diego State a little bit. Nobody's going to care out where I'm at about the Aztecs, but they've won 7, and they're like in our poll, our underdogs poll. Matt made a good point. App State, Appalachian State, who plays in the crappy Sun Belt, has name recognition because they beat Michigan 10 years ago, and still a pretty good team by their own merit, obviously. They're getting credit, and people say, I'm like, where's San Diego State? They dropped out of the poll. Their defense is amazing. They've won set last week 6 in a row, now 7 in a row. They're not even ranked. I think looking at the numbers, there was 2 people who voted for Aztecs because I think I had them 7th, which would have given them 3 points. I think there's 5 total. So out of the voters, maybe 3 people max voted for them. They should be getting more recognition, Ashton Air Force, for these games, but they lost early in the year, so they're not sitting at – like right now Memphis is 8-3. Nobody's going to talk about them anymore. But they're sitting at undefeated heading into conference play.
Right.
Throughout. So it's like – their losses come later, so losses do matter. But like you said, look who's Air Force played, Michigan State. Lose to them. They lost to a Navy who has 1 loss. Navy's only loss is to Notre Dame. And so, and Navy's defense, I'm just looking at this right now, they've only given up 187 points all year. That's as much as Florida State's given up and only 7 less than Clemson. Their defense, technically points per game, is better than Clemson. And they're number 1 in the country.
So, I found that stat while you were talking.
Yes.
The last time Boise State won 3 straight games or lost 3 straight games.
Yeah.
1997, which was they went 4-7 that year, and they lost 3 straight twice to start the season, then to almost finish off the season. That was the only year that. Nutt was the head coach of Boise.
Houston, that. All right. That's good, 1997. So almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago.
So the first to start the season, they lost to Cal State, Northridge, Wisconsin, then Central Michigan.
Okay. And then
October into early November, they lost against Louisiana Tech, Utah State, and Nevada.
So that's a long time. So Boise fans, relax, right?
Exactly.
And here's the thing: you got the recruiting is much better in the conference. You're getting all these 4-star guys. And again, you have Brett Rippon's back next year. McNicholas is back. Sparebeck is back. Your offense is back. Your OC will have another year under his belt. Your defense has been very good. You'll lose guys to the NFL, obviously, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So yeah,
Drinkwitz is a first-year offensive coordinator because they just lost the guy to
Mike Sanford to Notre Dame. He's their OC. So, Anything else we need to talk about tonight? Any coaching stuff you want to discuss that we kind of stumbled across, or is that something to wait till later?
That's something to wait till later, but we're trying one of the people over at Underdog Dynasty and myself, we're trying to figure out how to Rabblecast the potential game of the week, the weakest of the week game, University of Louisiana Monroe at Hawaii.
Is Hawaii going to win that game?
Very possible.
I'm going to check the line real quick. I'm going to look it up. Let's both guess before we look. It's at Hawaii. I'm going to say in Louisiana Monroe, they're 3-8, correct?
They might be 2-9.
They are. That doesn't say the record here. I'm going to say Hawaii is a 5-point favorite.
ULM football right now, I'll tell you, is their schedule and scores. Hold on.
They could be 3-9 if they're at Hawaii because this is their final game.
They are 1-10 this season.
So they did not elect the
Hawaii's got to be a 10-point favorite in this game.
I'm going 5. And the winner is no line yet. Come on. Dang it. Line is not set for this game.
They lost to Idaho.
Sorry.
And will probably lose to New Mexico State. Although, in defense of New Mexico State, they're on a 3-game winning streak.
They have a good running back.
Yes.
So, okay. Let me ask.
Lost yesterday 16-3.
Yeah. Let me ask.
Horrible game to watch. I can't believe I suffered through watching that.
Yeah, how did that happen? We're going to wrap up the show really quick. Here's what I want to say. We're not going to get into coaching stuff, but there's going to be – we got Norm Chow, obviously. He's out. There is – Iowa State's another opening. There's going to be so – there's probably going to be, what, 5 more openings, I'm assuming, at least, at the head coaching ranks overall?
Probably.
There could be nearly 20 openings at the FBS level, or have openings or hybrid openings. Minnesota's been filled, but – nearly 20 openings. It's going to be nuts. And there's going to be – let me ask you this. Is there going to be any Mountain West head coach that goes somewhere else, you would think?
Yes.
To a big – not fired, I mean, but say to a bigger program.
Yes.
I would say who are those – who are you looking at with those? I assume we probably got the same couple of guys. Or do you have just one guy in mind?
I have Calhoun in mind.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And believe it or not, I have Football Bob in mind.
I was debating on Football Bob. I'm not going to go to Harston just because I think he wants to be there longer than that, just because he's from the school, coached there, played there, all that sorts of stuff. But
went to high school in Boise. I mean, guys, I don't see Harston leaving unless he is forced out.
Or an amazing job, but he wants an amazing job. Because Peterson was offered $4 million at UCLA and said no.
Right. But
allegedly he was. Not
born and bred in Boise either.
Yeah, true. But he also wanted – he didn't want the media spotlight, so go to Washington where he can make money, better conference, not to worry about controlling Snoop Dogg at practice or something, or Nick Lachey. He wanted to hang out at practice, right?
If Cal had offered him the job – I think he may have he would have possibly taken Cal.
He interviewed, right? But they chose Sonny Dykes, correct?
No, he didn't interview for that job.
I thought he did. Was there interest involved?
But then Stanford decided to promote within.
Stanford, that's right, yes. So here's the thing about Football Bob. He's a defensive coach. His offense is not his offense. It's the I should know his name, but he's a former Sam Houston State guy who moved up to the FBS level. I think New Mexico would be fine for the most part, but do coaches know he was in? He was at ESPN for about a decade after being at Notre Dame, or did okay, got fired, so not the best. What would people know what they're getting with him because of his new style that he's been running over this program?
Possibly.
it just seems odd because his offense, people say you want a new offense. His offense is the most unique out of any team in the country, in my opinion. And I don't think I'm just saying that just because I'm saying. If you watch what they play and what sets they do and what formations they do, the playbook is not very expansive, but they can run the same play out of, what, 7 formations, essentially, it seems like.
Something like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
The pistol, the option, you have the diamond back set. You'll have you don't single back, but you'll have, like, 1 cube, like, 5 wide, but it's so unique. That's how he's been successful. Would he take that offense? Let's give it a good example. Iowa State opened today. They're not a great program. They're in the Big 12 at the bottom. Paul Rhodes had the one good victory a couple years ago. That's about it. Oklahoma, whoever, would be the top-ranked team at the time or one of the top-ranked teams. That is a place you could do this offense. But also, Bob Davies not going to USC or Miami if this even comes up or if he even wants to go. I'm assuming – like, if I'm opening jobs, Iowa State would probably be a pedigree-wise and what moving up from New Mexico there, that's probably the most realistic landing spot or in that range of schools, Iowa State-level type school.
That makes sense.
Because, he's not going to South Carolina, not going to Miami. He's definitely not going down to North Texas or Louisiana Monroe might be open. So who knows, one of those schools, Sun Belt school or something. Like Illinois, something like that. That's probably his peak if he even goes. But I guarantee they'll be interested. Say they.
So who's your other name that you were thinking of?
No, Calhoun and him, and a little bit Brian Harsin, a little bit Harsin.
I don't think Harsin at all.
I don't probably not, but Calhoun and Bob Davey. If Davey, it's like I said. If they beat Air Force and win their bowl game 8-5, they'll be interested. Even getting New Mexico to a bowl game, they'll be interested. Maybe Maryland will realize Mike Locksley's terrible and bring him in instead or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But with so many openings, we got to keep track of. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on, so we'll see how that goes. But that's our show for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the recap. If you're listening to this on your travels, be safe. If you're flying or taking that long road trip like you did, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll do a preview probably Tuesday. It might just be me solo because you're too busy with family stuff. So we'll have something for you playing later this week. Check out the site. We won't leave you empty on Thanksgiving Day. There's some basketball. We'll sprinkle in some stuff throughout the day, like one or two things, pre-schedule some stuff for the weekend. But check us out, mwcconnection.com. We need a report from you in 2 weeks on your Bomba socks, Chris. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So check us out. We have a new code, but it's in the links on the show. But basically, the simple one, bombas.com/Mountain West. 20% off your first order of 4 pairs or more. Again, you got the blister tab for the short ones. You got the honeycomb weave. I'm wearing my black and yellow ones right now. See, with the black socks, if you have a corporate job, like some, I know a lot of people do, you can get away with these, right? Black socks. Yeah, they got the yellow little guy, but you cover it just enough. Perfect. Do you have to wear black dark socks for teaching, Chris, or does it matter too much?
It really doesn't matter.
Okay, but if you had to dress up some days.
Wear black socks for when I dress up. And
yeah, you can wear the black ones. So check them out. They're pretty cool. Especially this time of year, they donate a pair for every pair you buy. It's a pretty cool deal, so go check it out there. But also check out our podcast as you're listening to it now. Subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, what's the other one? SoundCloud. I was going to say a different service for my other job. No, SoundCloud. Soon to be Google Play Music. Give us a review. I want a review. What do we have to do to get a review? Do we need to give something away, a high five or something?
No.
Not even a high five? Virtual high five? That was quick enough. All right, I guess you don't want to do that. So, all right, no worries. MWCConnection.com. We'll check you guys out next week for a preview show. Have a great whatever you do this holiday week, and we'll probably say that again next time since we have another show before the final week of the season. So, yeah, MWCConnection.com. We'll see you guys next time.